après avoir procédé aux consultations prévues à l'article 12 de notre Constitution, j'ai décidé de vous redonner le choix de notre avenir parlementaire par le vote. Je dissous donc ce soir l'Assemblée nationale.
On June 9th, Emmanuel Macron took France by surprise. He dissolved the National Assembly, the lower house of parliament, sending the French back to the ballot boxes in snap parliamentary elections.
Anxiety has set in. No one knows what's going to happen.
After his party's poor results in the European elections, the president could find himself in a scenario known as cohabitation.
Political cohabitation is just that. It's when a president and a prime minister are not from the same political family.
France has known three periods of cohabitation since the start of the Fifth Republic in 1958. Between arm wrestling and compromise, what lessons can be drawn from the past?
Le président de la République décrète Monsieur Jacques Chirac est nommé Premier ministre.
1986, France found itself for the first time in cohabitation. A novel situation in the Fifth Republic, brought on by a mismatch between two terms, that of the president, which lasted 7 years, and that of members of parliament, which lasted five.
In 1981, Mitterrand was elected on a left-wing manifesto. He was president of the Republic, but the National Assembly was right-wing. So he dissolved the National Assembly so that it would be on the same political side as he was. After 5 years, the term of the members of parliament came to an end. Mitterrand stayed on for 2 more years and was faced with an election that brought in opposition MPs.
Alone against parliament, left-wing President François Mitterrand didn't plan on moving an inch for his right-wing prime minister, Jacques Chirac.
The first cabinet meeting of the first cohabitation in 1986 took place in an icy atmosphere because the president was totally isolated in the face of a government made up of his opponents. François Mitterrand in the middle, as cold as stone, while the others didn't dare smile.
François Mitterrand did not let himself be deterred. He had an ability to impose himself that was astonishing. He did not budge.
And yet, President Mitterrand could not prevent Jacques Chirac carrying out his own policies. The president's powers were limited.
In a period of cohabitation, we refer to the text of the Constitution. And in accordance with this, our President of the Republic is a referee who can appeal to the people through referendum or dissolution. He can appeal to the National Assembly by choosing the Prime Minister or by the right of message. Or he can appeal to the Constitutional Council, but that's all.
But when it came to foreign policy, the President intended to embody the voice of France internationally. Jacques Chirac, though, did not agree.
Problems arose during the G7 summit in Tokyo when François Mitterrand was to be accompanied by a minister, and Jacques Chirac wanted to make his mark at the G7. He wanted to be present. At the final press conference, he was down below in the seats, and it was Mitterrand alone who embodied the voice of France. So the tensions right at the top were clearly visible.
Entre les deux chefs de l'exécutif.
Il n'y a qu'une voix de la France. Ceci est dit une fois pour toutes.
In actual fact, the Constitution gives an equally important role to the Prime Minister in these sectors. The rivalry was obvious, and it was not good at all for France's image. I think both of them learned a lesson from this and decided to behave in a more cordial manner.
Cohabitation, by and large, benefited François Mitterrand. He ran to be re-elected in the 1988 presidential elections against his prime minister, Jacques Chirac.
Permettez-moi juste de vous dire que ce soir, je ne suis pas le Premier ministre et vous n'êtes pas le président de la République. Nous sommes deux candidats à égalité et qui se soumettent au jugement des Français, seul qui compte. Vous me permettrez donc de vous appeler Monsieur Mitterrand. Mais vous avez tout à fait raison, Monsieur le Premier ministre.
La réalité, c'est que
the reality is that the government of Jacques Chirac implemented its policies, and in particular, its economic policies. He largely undid what the socialists had done just before. Chirac applied his policy of privatization, while earlier in 81 there had been a wave of nationalizations, and ultimately, Chirac won. Yet, in terms of what we remember, we think of a Mitterrand who systemically won against his prime minister.
Mitterrand was easily re-elected president in 1988 and once again enjoyed a majority in parliament. But 5 years later, in 1993, the left wing lost heavily in parliamentary elections. It was the start of the second cohabitation.
Vous avez marqué votre volonté d'une autre politique. Cette volonté sera scrupuleusement respectée.
The right-wing politician Édouard Balladur was named prime minister, putting a halt to many of the president's plans.
It was unbelievable. From one day to the next, everything changed. Before, the phone was ringing non-stop. Appointments and meetings were being handled, etc. Then suddenly, nothing. We were in a system that was being set up in a prime minister's office at Matignon. It seemed all shiny and new. They were making all the announcements. And then the cohabitation period gradually took shape.
During the first cohabitation, they looked at how to interpret the constitution in the circumstances. There were rules and practices that could be applied during the second cohabitation. There were also the personalities of those involved. François Mitterrand was a very clever politician. Facing him, Édouard Balladur had a more easygoing character.
Mitterrand-Balladur, it was a completely different context. Mitterrand was ill, and so their meetings did not go well. Either Mitterrand was forced to cancel, or sometimes he had to lay down. Sometimes he even had to leave halfway through because he was in so much pain. That influenced their relationship. Édouard Balladur understood immediately that he could not start a war.
A weakened president who did not resign.
Not only could François Mitterrand not run for president again, but the socialists in general were not that popular. The idea gradually took hold in public opinion that the real battle was happening within the right-wing party, between Édouard Balladur and Jacques Chirac.
Jacques Chirac was victorious, being elected president in 1995.
Monsieur Chirac! Monsieur Chirac.
But 2 years later, Chirac dissolved the National Assembly, gambling that his members of parliament would be re-elected.
Je considère en conscience que l'intérêt du pays commande d'anticiper les élections.
Jacques Chirac understood that if he didn't do anything, after 5 years in office, he would find himself in a cohabitation. So to avoid that, he dissolved the National Assembly before the members of parliament's term came to an end. The plan wasn't to weaken them, but to support them, so they'd stay in power for longer. But the French didn't appreciate this move. They reacted by saying, "You want to avoid cohabitation? Well, then we're going to give you cohabitation."
It was a big victory for the forces of the left who united. So you had a return to cohabitation. But this time, it was reversed. The president was right-wing and the prime minister was left-wing. His name was Lionel Jospin.
Simplement, le président de la République proposait de me nommer premier ministre et j'ai accepté.
Lionel Jospin arrived at the prime minister's office in a position of force. He and Jacques Chirac did not like each other. Tensions soon surfaced.
The first true political bone of contention was the reform to bring in a 35-hour working week. It was wanted by Dominique Strauss-Kahn and applied by Martine Aubry. It was unbearable for the right wing. By that I mean Jacques Chirac. He opposed it as much as he could. He said all the bad things he possibly could about the 35-hour working week.
I think we have completely forgotten about this today. The most dangerous standoff was the one over meat-based animal feed during the mad cow disease outbreak. Jacques Chirac called on his prime minister to protect the health of the French public, even though he knew very well that his prime minister was already working on it. By pushing him, Chirac made things much harder for Jospin, because it was already a difficult situation to manage.
Je veux pour ma part qu'on interdise les farines animales pour tous les élevages.
Oui, nous en avons parlé entre hommes, à mon initiative, mercredi. Mais ce que nous nous disons entre hommes reste entre les deux hommes.
The two men tried to remain courteous in public, so that the French did not turn on them.
There's a golden rule with cohabitation. It's a bit like a divorce in relation to the children. The first parent who criticizes the other is out of the match, even if they're in the right. They're disqualified because people don't want cohabitation to be a period of violent conflict. As soon as one criticizes the other, their popularity suddenly drops.
What we must remember is that, like in 1988, the President and the Prime Minister found themselves opponents in the race for the presidency in 2002. And that, ultimately, is what really poisoned the end of the cohabitation.
In 2002, Chirac was re-elected after beating Jean-Marie Le Pen from the far right. Jospin didn't make it through the first round. That's the curse for prime ministers. No prime minister has ever managed to win the presidency directly afterward because it's too hard. By pushing through reforms, they make some people unhappy. That's natural. They are confronted with the difficulties of being in power.
The last cohabitation was more than 20 years ago. The political landscape has changed dramatically since then, and a new balance of power could soon come into force.